Okay, now, in your bulletins, you will find that we're going to talk on the assurance of heaven. You know, I got my cheat sheet here. I need to ask for your forgiveness right off, because I didn't really study this that much. I was able to get it on paper, but luckily I'm going to be reading out of the Bible more than I am talking out of my notes. Okay? I have to tell you that I went to the men's retreat, and it was so good I stayed. And so I didn't do this. So forgive me. Bear with me. Now, it says in your bulletin that you usually look at that and you say, well, the main text is Luke 16, 19 through 26. It is not. That is our starting point. We are going to go through a lot of verses in the Bible. Oh, Flint, you'll be so proud of me. Right? But you still can't cut off my pony. That's an inside joke from yesterday. Okay, so turn to Luke 16, 19 through 26. I guess I better get there too. The theme for today seems to be joy. We sang about joy, we talked about joy during the communion, and I'm going to talk about joy again. But you know what? Realize this. Now, this is off my notes and stuff. So I feel like Chris up here. So anyway, if you look at the fruits of the Spirit, oh, help me out. I just had a senior moment. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians?
Galatians 5.
Huh? Oh, Galatians. That's it. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Huh? Yeah. Anyway, the list starts on the fruits of the Spirit with agape love. And the second on the list is what?
Joy.
Joy. Okay? I find that just as almost as important as agape love. Okay. And now, I'm really going to make your blood flow. Will you please stand as we read the Word of God? Now, you've all heard this story before, okay? But let's read it. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments, and I like that because it's plural, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Amen. So, you may be seated. Oh, thought just crossed my mind. I should have pulled up a chair and sat down and watched you guys stand. No. So, this scripture, I love this passage. There are so many things that you can talk about on this passage. But today we are going to talk about that Jesus, and it's not a story, it's a truth, that he says there is a heaven and there is a hell, right? We can see that plainly. Okay? It also tells us that there is an eternity, right? I mean, if Abraham was sitting over here, for a long, long time, and then Lazarus was brought to him by the angels. He's been there for a long time, eternity, right? And it sounds like there was other people there with the rich man. So we have eternity, and guess what? We have a choice, but only two choices. We can pick heaven or hell. God gives us that freedom, but we also have to realize that we have to live with our consequences, okay? Because as it says here, that there was no movement between the two. You couldn't cross from one side to the other. So, is there a chance that you can go from hell to heaven? You can think about it like this. The Grand Canyon is a great canyon, right? What, 2 miles down? Is that what it is? I don't recall. And it's wide, but yet you can still climb down, cross the Colorado River, and come up the other side. Or man, and his greatest thing, they can build a bridge across it. So it's not like the Grand Canyon. If you drain the Pacific Ocean, and trust me, it's there, there is a great canyon there. We're talking probably 100 miles wide and 100 miles deep. It is a great canyon, one that you could not climb down, run across, and climb up, nor could we build a bridge across it. But this is what God, Jesus, is saying. We cannot move one to the other. Okay? Now, you can see from these passages, there is a difference of the two places. But what we're going to do is we're going to explore more of the descriptions. Okay, so turn to me to Revelations 21:4. And just in case you want to know, it's the last chapter in the Bible. Hey, and I'm going to do a shout out. At 8:30 in the morning, we have a Bible study. There's probably about 25 people there this morning, maybe 26, okay? We are doing a great study on Revelation. Now, I know also that Flint is also studying Revelation, and I know you've had other people teach Revelations, but this is an excellent time. How many here are early bird risers? Hey, come join us. What else could you do? You know, have your breakfast early and then come join us, or wait until after. So, verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. It's a good picture of heaven, isn't it? Turn to Matthew 13. Now, wait a minute. I cannot hear the paper rustling in the Bibles on your phone. Matthew 13, starting in verse 42 and ending in 50. Yes, I will get there. Okay, this is where Jesus is talking about his kingdom and that things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, starting in 42, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells what? He sells all. Doesn't say, oh yeah, I'll sell just some of my land and go buy that. And he says he sells all. Now we have to look at this in the spiritual sense, that he has and buys the field. Okay, so he sells all that he has and buys the field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I kind of figure you guys already know where you're going, right? I know where I want to go, and I'm going to be a part of it. Okay, so we get the picture. Now, let's ask the question, how do we know we have that assurance? How do we know we're going to heaven?
The Holy Spirit tells us, he convicts us, and we know the truth of the Scriptures.
Amen. Anything else?
He lives within us, if we know that.
Okay, he lives within us. You know what? He comes, we talked about it at communion. He comes and he knocks. Well, okay, Lord, for me, you slammed on my door. But he knocks on the door of your heart. And what does he want to do? He wants to come in and sup with you. Okay? He wants to come in and live with you. And that's one of the things. But let's find out. Let's go to, okay, what is the most known chapter in the Bible? Don't tell me Genesis 1. Oh, John chapter 3, I heard it. Okay, turn to John chapter 3, but we're going to go to verse 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now, I'm saying that to me so I can find it. Okay, John chapter 3, verse 3. Aren't you lucky I'm not making you stand up to read all these verses? Okay. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now he's talking to Nicodemus. We all know this story, I'm pretty sure. But if you are here and you don't know it, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jewish religion, is coming to Jesus to say, okay, we know you're a prophet. We know that you speak of things from God. So what's this deal? How do we enter into the kingdom of God? So he's telling you, you've got to be born again, right? Let's go a little farther and go to verse 6. Okay, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay? When we come out of our mother's womb, what are we? We are born of the flesh, okay? It's not until we come to when we accept Jesus Christ. That's when we start becoming born of the Spirit. Okay, I'm going to go now next to 15 and 16. Woohoo! Gosh, I feel like Abel up here. Don't worry, that's a compliment, Abel. Okay, verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And our most favorite is, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believes in him shall not, but have everlasting life. Amen. Isn't that just a great verse? Okay, but there's another verse there. It's the end of Romans Road. And that's 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. Okay, so we know all this. This is pretty easy stuff, isn't it? All we have to do is believe, right? How many here believe? How many here believe in our government? Okay, how many believe that there won't be any tsunami next week? Well, I hope not. Okay, so, but let's turn, because God just is so great. Turn to Matthew 7. Thank you, Lord, for making reading glasses. I still can't read, but that's okay. Okay, Matthew 7, 13 through 14, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." We can say hell there. Okay? And there are many who go by it. "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Whoa, Lord, I thought you said it was easy. All we have to do is accept you, believe in you. But now you're saying that the way is hard, is difficult? Like, what are you trying to tell us here? So let's go to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Okay, this is what he says. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is" what? "And my burden is light." Okay? So yes, this is how I look at it. Our way is going to be tough. We as Christians are going to be persecuted. We're going to be spit on. We're going to be saying, "Shut up. We don't want to hear you. The world is going to put us down." We are going to be persecuted, right? But if we're yoked to Jesus, and I think Pastor spoke on this a while back, that if we're yoked to Jesus, it'll be easy for us, okay? So, John 10, 27 through 30. Okay, it'd be worse if I was using my phone. Okay, John 10, 27 through 30. Okay, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So you see, can we lose our salvation? No. Impossible. Because what God puts together, he is not going to take it away. And he has promised us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Okay? I read a little thing, or actually I heard it on the radio. Anybody here know who Philip Yancey is? He's a Christian writer. I haven't read any of his books, so I'm not going to say he's good or bad or what. But his father, Marshall, was a very, very conservative Baptist preacher in Atlanta. And he had a tough life. He wrote a letter towards the end of his days, and I'll explain about what his letter was all about. He said that, senior moment, he said that he's had a rough life, okay? He's had to bury children. He was having doubts about what he was speaking in the pulpit. His church in Atlanta was called a racist church, okay? Whether he was speaking the truth or not, I don't know. But then, to top it off, he got polio. And this polio was before the polio vaccination came into being. He ended up being on an iron lung. So this is back in the late 40s, early 50s. An iron lung is a huge contraption that pushes air in and out into a breathing tube, and it's noisy. I mean, my wife can attest to a breathing tube. So here he is, and he's writing a letter to not only his children that are left and to his loved ones, and he's saying all this. I do have this doubt in all this. And he says, but he concluded. He was writing this letter because he was going to take himself off the iron lung and have the Lord heal him. Okay? But at the end of the letter, he says, two things are for sure. He says, life is hard. And heaven is for sure. So, God didn't heal him. He died 2 weeks later. Okay, 1 John 5:4. I'm going to conclude with this. Okay, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And that's where we should be at. Okay, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't put you on a bummer. I hope that this fills you with joy because you know where you're going, right? God says that you're going to heaven. All you have to do is believe in me. Okay? Yes, the way is going to be hard sometimes. But if you're yoked to him, it's going to be easy. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. We sang a song yesterday at the men's retreat. Said that he was the Father of lights. And Lord, you are. You are a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. And I praise you for that. And I thank you for being here. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, because without him, we wouldn't be here. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross. And you rose him again. But get this, Lord, I know that Good Friday does not save us. Actually, Resurrection Sunday doesn't save us, but together they do. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the people that are here, that you brought them here. And, Lord, we just thank you for this church. Lord, it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.